Hello, everyone. This is David Hughes from the Corporate Marketing Group at Worldwide Technology, welcoming you to the latest episode of WWT's Tech 17 podcast series. We're actually broadcasting from our global headquarters here in St. Louis today. And today we're going to be talking about a fairly new topic and concept that's come up in the area of collaboration, and it's called cognitive collaboration. And to help us do that today, we've got two of our subject matter experts from our collaboration practice, Joe Berger and Brandon Eckel. So guys, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And just very quickly, Joe, could you just give us your title and role here, and Brandon the same?
Yeah, hey everyone, Joe Berger. I'm the practice director for collaboration and end user compute, responsible for pre-sales engineering and business development.
Brandon Eckel, I am the practice manager for our meetings practice, which includes video and video conferencing.
Okay. Well, great, guys. And I think you guys have both been on the podcast before.
We're back.
So welcome back for another go-around. When this podcast airs, the announcement will have been made at Enterprise Connect by Cisco about this new term called cognitive collaboration. So maybe just to kind of kick things off, Joe, can you kind of tell us what is cognitive collaboration?
Yeah, so it's a relatively new term Cisco is coming to market with. So we've had unified communications. I think for a while they would try to enhance communications. And now we're in this new phase of cognitive collaboration. Really what they're trying to achieve here is sort of the integration of context, so the information and intelligence of take that information and making it pertinent to the discussion or to the task at hand. So they're weaving context and intelligence throughout their entire collaboration experiences and portfolio.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot today. Most of our collaboration streams provide a ton of metadata or content or information. Cognitive collaboration is, instead of the human having to sit down and then parse all of that data and then provide the context to someone or about
a
topic or missing the context, there's a level of AI that is stepping in and assisting with that. And I think that's where we're seeing the market, at least in Cisco's eyes, moving.
Okay. So just to follow up on that, and Brandon, I'll throw this out to you. So based on what you guys have kind of told us about what cognitive collaboration is, is this something that customers have been asking for in terms of the kind of solutions that that this type of or this new concept in collaboration is going to provide? Is this something customers have been asking for?
I would say that I'm not sure yet if widespread customer response has been I need this, but I think when you experience it, you realize that this is going to make some of my collaboration experiences much better.
So one of the things that they've announced is, and there's about four major announcements. One of them was the concept of the virtual assistant. So you walk into a meeting room, in the old sense, you either had to schedule a room, dial up a phone number, click some buttons on the actual device to actually place a call. With this new concept of the virtual assistant, you walk in the room and say, hey, WebEx, start my meeting. Now, I think why this is relevant and kind of from a personal experience, I've got a five-year-old now who calls me through Alexa. She didn't ask me how to do it. She just figured it out one day. And so you now have people who are using these devices at home, and that's on a $30 device where if I walk into a conference room and I've got something sitting on the wall that's as expensive as a car, why can't I have that type of experience that I'm already used to at home? And so that's what you're seeing is a lot of these types of AI capabilities that you might be used to when you go home are now starting to make their way into the office space.
Okay. So Joe, would you consider this to be something new, like a new area that Cisco's moving into, as opposed to just kind of unified communications just evolving to this point?
Yeah, I think some of this is part of an evolution. Like I mentioned, that virtual assistant, I think, is just an evolution. It's kind of the next phase of starting a meeting. Some of the other announcements are around if I'm in a call and I'm looking at the screen and I see five people over video. Well, traditionally, if I walk into the meeting and I miss the introductions, I have no idea who those people are. One of the announcements they made this week is around facial recognition. So I can actually see who those people are. Actually, people would have a name tag. Another thing they've announced is around people in sight. So I can now be on the call and say, okay, I see Brandon. I don't know Brandon. Let me click on Brandon's name and gather more information about him. Maybe it's Brandon sent out a tweet last week, or maybe Brandon was in a press release, or I could have it read my Active Directory so I can see, hey, Brandon's part of this organization. So now that's part of that context. I can get a better idea of who Brandon is, what his role is within this meeting, maybe some of his background, or even maybe I'm joining a customer call and I can get real-time data on that customer I'm talking to. So it's providing that context in up-to-date timeline so that I know who I'm talking to and relevant background on that person.
Right, and that's from some of the enhancements and announcements they're making around the day-to-day collaboration, maybe inside of a customer or an organization. But the other aspect of this is how cognitive collaboration fits into the contact center conversation. So having this AI, having this contextual awareness enhancement to the contact center agent is going to allow organizations, retail establishments, anybody with a contact center to really deliver a much better customer experience based on their past experiences.
So a great example of that is, you know, you're talking to a contact center agent. I've got a question about my iPhone. So as I'm talking, I go through my problem. The AI would actually be listening to the conversation and sending screen pops to the agent. Hey,
suggestions.
Here's what this person's running into. Here's how to remediate it. So it can help troubleshoot faster, but also at the same time, it helps train the agent. So maybe the agent the next time automatically knows what that problem is because they've already been alerted on here's how to fix it, that sort of thing.
Okay. So Brandon, I'll start with you on this one. So I guess are there, you know, obviously Cisco made this announcement. You know, they're the ones that maybe might be at the forefront of this new concept. But are there other vendors, you know, in this space who are offering something similar? And if there are, could you talk about that?
Well, I think that the primary, I think, competitor in this space, especially in the contact center space, there's a number of different competitors. But I think the primary ones are going to be Genesys and this is going to surprise some people, but Amazon is likely one of the vendors in this space who's really making inroads. They have obviously a huge cloud back end. They have a lot of compute that they can utilize, and then they have Alexa, and Alexa is a version of AI that is providing a lot of the same activities to consumers. They're going to repurpose it if they haven't, you know, they're already repurposing it for commercial use.
Yeah, we're seeing the cloud contact center vendors, Genesys, Five9s, InContact. They're all coming up with AI strategies, whether that's through partnerships with Google or doing some things on their own. But we're seeing a lot of the cloud first type companies are innovating a little bit faster because they're not necessarily constrained. Yeah. What Cisco has actually done that they've announced this week, they're extending sort of that on-premise. So if you've deployed your contact center on-prem and you don't want to go to the cloud right away, you'll actually be able to integrate with the cloud to take some of these newer advancements. From a meetings perspective, though, I don't think we've seen anyone offer things like a virtual assistant capability and definitely not the facial recognition to this point yet. Vendors can track faces, but they haven't done much with that technology.
Exactly. There are people with their toes in the pool of these types of features, but nobody has put all of this stuff together at the level that Cisco has right now. So I think they, you know, they really have an advantage over the rest of the market right now.
Now, I think what will be interesting as we talk about people insights, if you look at Microsoft Teams and Skype, because Microsoft owns LinkedIn, does that integration end up happening at some point in the future? I would imagine so. I just don't know quite how it comes out or how the licensing mechanics work because there are some different ways to purchase it. But I would imagine Microsoft is working on something similar. I haven't seen anything like this out of Zoom yet, But I would think Microsoft would probably be on the forefront to come out with something similar to this.
Yeah, they're likely the next.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Joe, I guess kind of more big picture. So, how do you see the space shaping up, and where do you think it could lead to down the road?
You know, to Brandon's point earlier, there's all these different pieces of either IoT or sensors or devices that are now starting to pull all this information and this data. How do you make it more relevant in timeliness? So I think we're just at the start of what this can do. But, you know, if you can use your endpoint to start the meeting, what else can it start doing over time as it becomes smarter? Could it pull in a different resource that maybe isn't on the call that, hey, you're talking about this specific topic. We know based on prior work experience that these three other people might have knowledge pertaining to this specific topic. Would you like us to invite them into this call? So it's going to be able to start kind of becoming smarter on your behalf. Think of it more of, rather than AI, think of it more as like an augmented assistant where it's helping me perform my job, not necessarily doing the job for me.
Yeah, I think in its most basic form, it's just making meetings easier, but more pleasant to be in. If it's instead of fumbling over which number to dial, you just tell the system to dial the meeting for you. Instead of having to quickly Google the person in the meeting across from you, it just shows up in the chat pane of WebEx. Instead of having to IM the person next to you to figure out who you're talking to on the other side, the name tag just shows up on the screen. These kind of things just make communicating easier. And if we're all in this version of work today where we're just having more meetings, why not have better meetings? That's the key, I think, that is going to push Cisco furthest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've kind of touched on this already, but it seems like almost every podcast we do now, no matter the topic, artificial intelligence, AI comes up. It's at the forefront. So I know we touched on this a little bit with the new concept of cognitive collaboration, but how does AI fit in here?
I mean, it's working in a couple different areas. There's the conversational piece. Hey, WebEx, start my meeting. Hey, WebEx, go call this person. And then it's starting to take some of this different type of data. Hey, here's who's on your call. Showing name tags, that sort of thing, tracking how many people are in the meeting. So now I have better analytics on how many people are sitting in that conference room. That allows me to make better decisions now of, do I need more conference rooms? Do I need smaller conference rooms? So it's giving that data, doing more with it and helping me make better decisions by, as Brandon said earlier, by having all this data, it's helping kind of go through it, make it simpler to consume, and give me better insights into kind of what's going on with my business.
And not only better data, but or better decisions, but quicker decisions. So if you tell, if you talk to the system and say, hey, call Brian, instead of asking you 12 different Brians in your contact list, it's going to pull up the first Brian that you spoke to last or the Brian that you've spoken to the most. And that's just going to make those decisions much quicker.
And I think as you look at the contact center space too, I mean, AI has already been here for quite some time. If you think about things like chatbots, how many times have you been on a website talking to somebody? You don't know if you're talking to a chatbot or a real life person. Typically what happens is you go through a list of questions, then it kicks it over to a real time agent. But that can help businesses tremendously by lowering their cost of how many agents they might need on staff or working in certain hours.
Queue lengths, all kinds of stuff.
So there's all different ways that we've seen it on the sort of that customer experience side, and now it's just making the agent more enabled by giving them real-time information on what's going on with that customer case when they're on the call. So a lot going on. Like I said, this is sort of, I think, the future, and it's starting to happen very quickly now, and we're pretty excited for what's to come.
Okay, guys. Well, I think it's been a really good conversation and discussion to kind of, for our listeners to kind of understand the new concept of cognitive collaboration. So just kind of one final question as we wrap up. So, since we've been talking about this topic here, is there anything in terms of collaboration or, cognitive collaboration tools are, products here at Worldwide technology that you all have been working on, which you know could potentially provide some of these benefits to our customers?
Yeah, there are a couple. We've been working with a number of the APIs, some released by Cisco, some released by third parties. I would say specifically around the meeting experience, so allowing the endpoint to, let's say, check somebody into a room from a room scheduling display or a room scheduling system to automatically start a call based on just someone entering the room, based on the facial recognition of that person if they have a meeting scheduled. So those are some of the things we've already been working on and have in our labs today.
Yeah, in fact, it's just about, maybe 6 to 8 months ago, we actually did a prototype of this, but we leveraged Alexa to do it just because we wanted to see, is there a need for starting the meeting by talking to some kind of AI assistant? First of all, we wanted to see if it was possible, what the experience was like, and were there use cases or justifications for businesses to do it. And in fact, most of the customers we showed it to or at least talked to, and we actually have a YouTube clip on it as well, they're all pretty interested in the idea. Now, obviously, once you start getting into things like public cloud AI, like Amazon and some of the others, security obviously becomes a big risk. And so not many customers jumped on it, but they like the concept of it. I think they're just waiting of how do I make sure this is secure enough for my corporate environment, especially in some of the larger, more regulated accounts that we typically focus on. So, yeah, we've been playing with these concepts, and we'll continue as Cisco comes out with some of the APIs and evolves the technologies. We'll continue to try to work on prototypes and R&D and try to get innovative on what we think is sort of that next thing or next integration that we can build into this to make it more useful for our customers.
Okay. All right. Well, great. Thanks, guys. You know, it sounds like this topic is just going to just get bigger and evolve over time and provide a lot more, you know, resources and, you know, potential tools that will, you know, give some great solutions to, you know, to our customers moving forward. So appreciate the discussion today, guys. So Joe and Brandon, thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks again for having us.
Thank you.
Okay, great. So for our listeners, that wraps up another episode of Tech17. We will have some links to some other content in the episode notes for this show. It just gives you a little deeper dive into some of the topics we talked about today. Of course, as always, you can go to wwt.com and get some more information as well. So again, if you're not a subscriber, please subscribe. As I always say, it's free. It's available on iTunes and all podcast software platforms. You can catch up on all the previous episodes of Tech17 as well. So until then, we'll see you next time on Tech17.